Stage Dramas present The Sacred Tooth of Siam. This week's front page drama, The Sacred Tooth of Siam, is the dramatization of a most unusual news story to be found in next Sunday's American Weekly under the title, Why No Smart Burglar Tries to Rob Siam's Prince. This almost fantastic but nevertheless true story is but one of the many fascinating, interesting, and educational stories, articles, and feature fictions that make every issue of the American Weekly the nation's reading habit. Insist on the Hearst Sunday newspaper that brings you The American Weekly. We are accustomed to reading war news under the London datelines these hectic days, and what with balloon barrages, bombings, and air battles, we are inclined to forget that good old Scotland Yard still exists. Yet, despite war's alarms, crime still goes on. And only last month, one of London's most spectacular crimes was written off as closed, and the complete story filed for transmission by cable to this country. It is a story well worth telling, so here it is. The place was the Berlin residence of Prince Kirasakchi, son of the ex-king of Siam. The time, shortly after midnight. The prince and princess have just returned from a social engagement to find their royal bedroom ransacked. The prince's valet and the princess's maid have been summoned.
It's amazing, Your Highness. Most amazing. I assure you, I never heard as much as the slightest sound.
Nor I, Your Highness. It must have been the work of an expert craftsman. It is quite evident they took their time and made a very thorough search.
They are evidently seeking the royal jewel collection, which was most fortunately securely locked away in the bank vaults in the city.
Begging Your Highness' pardon, I think we should immediately notify Scotland Yard and have them send someone out here. It would also be advisable not to touch anything until the officers arrive and examine everything for clues and fingerprints.
Yes, yes, exactly. James is right, my dear. We must notify the police at once.
Very well, my dear. I'll telephone them. But I warn you, it means staying up half the night waiting for their arrival and subsequent investigation.
What does that matter? I couldn't sleep now if I wanted to. Besides, the loss of a little sleep is nothing compared to the loss of our dream.
Very well, my dear. You remain here and check up on what is lost while I go to my chamber and telephone Scotland Yard.
Your Highness, Your Highness, come quickly. Look here on the altar. The golden enamel case is gone.
Oh, the vandals. Desecrated. Most vile thieves. They despoiled the altar of the sun god. Stolen the most sacred relic of our kingdom. The tooth of his imperial majesty, the Emperor Banu Kansi. Oh, the infidels, unclean despoilers, most vile, conscienceless fools.
What a job like that. As clean as a whistle. I haven't left us the slightest trace of a clue. This is one of the most perfectly planned jobs it's ever been my misfortune to run into. Work of highly trained experts.
You mean you cannot catch these vandals?
Well, no, not exactly that, Your Highness. But it's going to be very, very difficult to trace them.
Do not worry, my dear. That sacred tooth will do far more than the police can ever do in capturing the thieves.
Oh?
For there is this heavy curse upon the thief who steals the sacred tooth.
Begging Your Highness's pardon, I'm afraid curses and superstition no longer bother the modern criminal. The sort of chap that did this job is a scientist in his own right.
You may be right, Inspector. Yet 7 times this sacred relic has been stolen, and 7 times its curse has fallen upon the thief. The first thief was torn to pieces by dogs as he tried to escape from the palace in Siam. The second challenger of fate fell dead in front of his family temple as he sought to offer the relic to the deity. The third thief was drowned within a week of stealing the tooth. The fourth rascal was caught before he got out of the palace. Suffered the death. 10,000 king ants put down his throat after he'd been forced to drink honey. The fifth choked to death while celebrating what he thought was a successful venture in crime. The sixth was accidentally strangled when he ran into a bamboo rope fence one dark night after the robbery.
Well, I must admit that sounds as if there might be something to that curse, Your Highness. Although it's only fair to remind you this is London and things somehow do not happen as they do in Siam.
Those responsible for this theft may think they have committed a perfect crime and successfully escaped the law, Inspector. But the curse will follow them and fall heavily upon them. And their descendants as well.
I hope you're right, Your Highness. But in the meantime, I'll proceed to use every scientific method known to Scotland Yard to track them down.
It appeared for a while as if the prince's prophecy of the curse of the sacred tooth would not come to pass. It also looked suspiciously like a perfect crime had at last been committed. Week after week, Scotland Yard remained completely baffled. There appeared to be nothing to do but notify the insurance company to take the loss and pay the prince his indemnity, while Scotland Yard marked down an unsolved crime in its book. The prince was approached with the proposition, but steadily refused the offer of the insurance money, declaring he was certain the curse of the tooth would soon fall upon those responsible for its desecration. Then one day, near the outskirts of London, a speeding car approached a dangerous bend in the rather narrow road.
Here, quick. Some of you chaps, give me a lift. My daughter is fainted at the wheel of our car. She may be hurt, too. I grabbed that emergency brake just in time. Where's that maniac who is driving that other car?
Go through that brick wall, matey. He's a gone off affair. Here, I'll give you a lift.
Here, Tommy, help me lift this lady out.
All right, just a minute. Be careful there.
Be careful how you lift that woman out of the car. She may be hurt.
She was thrown very hard against that steering wheel and may be injured internally. Some of my men will take care of her. We're from Scotland Yard.
Very righto, sir. I'll let you handle this, but be careful. That's my daughter.
Are you the owner of this car?
Yes, sir, I am. Here's my license and papers. I wasn't to blame, though, sir.
No, no, of course you weren't. It was the poor, demented idiot who was speeding in that other car. You're in the clear. Yes, yes, these look all right, Mr. Boggs. You'll have to appear at the inquest as a witness, of course. The driver of the other car was killed.
Well, I can't say I'm very sorry about that. You almost got me and my daughter. It was a narrow escape. Made me sweat a bit, I can tell you. Oh, it's hot.
Oh, you... I says...
So what?
You dropped something out of your handkerchief.
Huh?
Wait, I'll get it for you. Well, down here at my feet. I say, this is a curious little trinket. Most unusual. What is it?
That's a good luck charm, sir.
Yes?
I was going to have it put on my watch chain. I wrapped it in my handkerchief and put it in the breast pocket just before I left the house today.
I see.
Planned on putting it.
Yes, very interesting. Where did you get it?
A pal of mine made me a present of it, sir, the other day. Bill Blakesley, it was.
William C. Blakesley, 204 Chiswick Terrace?
Yes, sir. Did you know him?
No. No, not well. But you might be interested in knowing that he almost killed you just now.
What?
It was he who was driving that car.
Bill Blakesley was driving that motor?
Yes, that's right.
Johnny must have been drunk again.
Yes, probably was. Yes, so he was a good pal of yours, eh? Gave you this good luck mascot? Did he by any chance tell you what it was?
Yes. No, sir. You'll have to excuse me, sir. I don't know what I'm saying. This here accident upset me and... Well, then to find out it was an old pal, well, I don't know what is up, sir.
I do not doubt that, Boggs, but I'll tell you. I'm Inspector Merritt of Scotland Yard, and I'm placing you under arrest for being in possession of stolen property.
What? What's that you say? Here, old hard inspector, have a little art. One shock was plenty, and two more than enough, but now this, well, I say...
No. It's not good enough, Boggs. You might as well drop that acting and tell the truth before the curse of the sacred tooth gets you.
The curse of the sacred tooth?
Yes. That gold, diamond-mounted, good-luck charm you're carrying is the sacred relic of an early Siamese king. One of his teeth, to be exact.
Oh, a tooth, sir.
It was among the loot stolen from the home of His Highness Prince Kirasakti over 10 weeks ago. There is a terrible curse upon anyone who steals that sacred tooth. Yes, I scoffed at it at first, but you see, it really works. Your friend Bill Bixley, lying dead over there, is proof of that.
Inspector Merritt.
Yes, here?
I'm Dr. Wallace. That young woman your men carried from the car is badly injured, broken ribs, a bad head, didn't she? They're rushing into the hospital at once, sir.
This is her father, Dr. Wallace.
How do you do?
Being placed under arrest. Please telephone a report of the girl's condition to my office at the yard. I'm taking him there at once.
Yes, very good, Inspector. I hope things won't be too bad, Mr. Boggs.
Well, Boggs, do you realize now the truth about the curse of the sacred tooth? Are you going to tell me what you know about the robbery? Come on. You'd better get it off your chest.
Righto, sir. Take me away. Take me away to the yard and I'll tell you everything. Save me from the curse of that sacred tooth.
Sidney Boggs, shaken with fear at the strange turn of events that killed his friend and seriously injured his daughter, broke down and confessed his part in the robbery, also that of the driver of the death car, Blakesley. Two other men were also part of the gang that robbed the prince, and the police set out to seize them. They had no trouble in picking up the third member of the quartet and then proceeded to the apartment of the fourth and final burglar. It was almost dawn when they arrived.
It would be on the top floor. Oh, what a crime. You know, I think I'm getting a bit old for this sort of thing. Especially after the day I've had.
Ah, cheer up, Inspector. Just one more flight up and we'll be there. Hope our little bird ain't flown the coop at all.
No, I'm not sure of that. Besides, he has no reason to be suspicious or fly away. He'll be home right enough. Safe in the arms of mortals. Thank heaven he's the last of our little quarry.
Well, here we are. This is the door. Shall I ring the bell or not, Inspector?
Ring the bell gently, Sergeant. Don't wake them up too soon. I say.
What?
Do you smell what I smell?
I'm sure I was beginning to notice that myself, sir. There's gas leaking somewhere. Well, I can smell it plain now.
Yes.
And they're ringing the bell. That ought to wake them up.
Yes, Sergeant, I'm afraid the curse has been working again. That gas we're smelling is coming from this apartment. We've got to get in there in a hurry. Try your master key.
Right, sir. There she goes, Inspector. Look up. Look on the floor in the hall. There's a man's body.
All right, Sergeant. Open the windows. Air the place.
Inspector, look. There's a woman on the bed. And a child in the cot against the wall.
Yes.
Look, Inspector. Sure, they're both dead.
Siamese Prince was right. The curse of the sacred tooth is real.
The curse was real, for it claimed the life of the wife and child of the fourth burglar. The man himself recovered and stood trial with the other two members of the quartet of thieves. But the curse of the sacred tooth had claimed the leader of the band, the daughter of another, and the wife and child of a third. The men were convicted and have begun to serve their terms in prison. The prince and princess Kirasakti are not vindictive people. They got their jewels and their sacred tooth back. They were willing to drop the case against the thugs who looted their home. But it is their belief that the other three cracksmen will have something evil befall them in spite of the royal couple's willingness to let bygones be bygones. Some of the officials of Scotland Yard are inclined to poo-poo the notion that merely stealing one of the molars of some long-dead monarch brings vengeance on the head of the thief. But they have looked into the history of the relic and are reluctantly forced to concede that it has been bad luck to everyone who has stolen it up to now. You have just heard the front-page drama, The Sacred Tooth of Siam, the dramatization of a most unusual news story to be found in next Sunday's American Weekly under the title, Why No Smart Burglar Tries to Rob Siam's Prince. This almost fantastic but nevertheless true story is but one of the many fascinating, interesting, and educational stories, articles, and feature fiction that make every issue of the American Weekly the nation's reading habit. Insist on the Hearst Sunday newspaper that brings you the American Weekly.